Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Let's take a look at some of the things that happened on this date. Back on June 17th, for example, let's see here now. 244 years ago in 1775, the Revolutionary War's Battle of Bunker Hill went down near Boston. The Americans were led by Colonel William Prescott, who told troops, "Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes." Oh, yeah, okay. 134 years ago today, 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrived in New York City. That was a gift from France. You ever see the Statue of Liberty? Pretty up close?
Yeah, yes,
cool. I saw it one time, and it was very, very cool. Very breathtaking, actually. So that was very cool. Also, on this date, I don't know, you probably don't remember this at all. 25 years ago today, in 1994, the O.J. Simpson car chase happened.
Of course I do.
95 million Americans watched the 8-hour police chase of O.J. Simpson. He then threatened suicide, refused to leave the Ford White Bronco when it arrived at his home in Brentwood, California. It went down something like this.
On June 17th, 1994, O.J. Simpson became the most famous fugitive on the planet.
Everybody was on the alert looking for a wanted double homicide suspect who happened to be a Heisman Trophy winner.
David Gascon, the LAPD's chief spokesperson at the time, believed O.J.'s whereabouts wouldn't remain a mystery very long.
I remember having a conversation, and I told him directly, I said, you know how this is going to end up. Somebody's going to see O.J. Simpson out here. Somebody's going to see him out on the freeway somewhere. We're going to get the call.
Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I think I just saw O.J. Simpson on the 5 freeway. He's heading north.
Near Nicole Brown Simpson's grave, south of Los Angeles, the white Bronco is spotted. At the wheel, O.J.'s best friend and former teammate, Al Cowlings.
Did you see him?
Yeah, we believe so. And we, looked at him, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he, stared us down like he was dead. Hold on, I got a cop coming here right now.
Okay, we'll put it out.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
With police now in his rear view, Cowlings calls 911, making sure they know O.J. is armed and desperate.
911, what are you reporting?
This is AC. I have O.J. in the car.
Okay, where are you?
Please, I'm coming up the 5 freeway.
Okay.
Right now, we're okay, but you got to tell the police to just back off. He's still alive, and he got a gun to his head.
Is everything else okay?
Everything right now is okay, officer. Everything is okay. All about, he wants to get him to his mom. He wants to get him to his house.
Okay.
So that's all we ask. He got a gun to his head.
Okay, and what's your name?
My name is AC. You know who I am.
AC got a little hot under the collar there at the end. But, yeah, and if you recall, and I'm not a basketball fan, but there was a big playoff game going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know what to do. The producers didn't know what to do because the game had already started. And it was like, well, what do we do? Do we break away or do we stay with the game? And nobody knew what to do, so they decided to go with the split screen so you could watch the game but also stay on top of what was going on with O.J. Simpson. What a joke.
That was one of those times, Tony, that I will never forget. Every television in our house had the speed chase on, and I know I was very young at the time, but I can remember specifically asking my dad, why do we care about a car? Why are we watching this over and over again? I must have been only 5 years old at the time, but I remember specifically asking. It reminded me a lot of, 9/11, same kind of thing, where it was on every television, and my parents were just they were just in awe of what was going on. And it was, of course I remember it. It was absolutely crazy. And it's funny you mention that, because the timing of this, back in history today is very just ironic timing, only because I don't know if you heard this weekend, O.J. Simpson is out. He is free. He's out of jail right now. And he actually joined Twitter, and he said something that was very alarming to a lot of people. He said, a couple of different things, but he wrote, "I've got a lot of getting even to do." And immediately people thought, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, a lot of you have been talking about false things about me over the years, over the decades, and it's now time for me to, say what the truth is on Twitter. And it's been one of the top stories that's trending on social media. the fact that OJ is now on social media, and he wants to get even with everyone who thinks he is not guilty and all of the other stuff he claims is garbage over the years. But what an insane case. I mean, honestly, OJ Simpson, holy moly.
Anybody
crazy.
Who follows him on Twitter, you've got to get a hobby.
Well, yeah, he already has 500,000 followers,
oh, yeah,
Tony. I'm sure, which just to me, you're just glorifying somebody who just, I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's two sides to every story. Some people believe he was innocent. I just don't know how you can't see the evidence right in front of you that he very well is most likely guilty for what he did. But again, yeah, he already has 500,000 followers, and I'm sure that it's already gone up since then. So it's crazy. There are people who are following him, and yeah, it's alarming. Live on the air, we have Krista Carnes, who is our social media consultant. She was in with us about a month ago, and I had to call her this morning because it's one of our top trending stories, OJ Simpson on Twitter. Krista, thank you for being here with us this morning.
You're so welcome.
Talk to us about this, first of all. You are the person who we always go to when it comes to consulting on social media. So, first of all, what does this mean, having somebody as high profile, one of the most famous fugitives of U.S. history, on Twitter?
You know, I can't say I'm surprised, because you know people are trying to rehabilitate their image, and this is all about who controls the narrative. And on social media, you have the opportunity to speak directly, you know, to people who pretty much are preconditioned to want to hear from you or like you. I mean, there's been a lot of backlash for sure, but I think the timing is interesting, that it's almost 25 years to the day from the murders. I think he's been out of jail now for the kidnapping and the memorabilia, stealing back his own memorabilia, and he's just probably just trying to see who he can grab, because if he can get enough people, then he can probably start making money on his name again, despite all of the sort of infamous behavior that he's associated with, albeit still not, you know, he was acquitted, but he did have to pay out $33 million. So, like, there's a lot to be said for that. So there's, you know, he's probably speaking to his own fan base and people who, you know, remember him as a huge sports fan and are okay in their minds with, like, overlooking the other part. And then, you know, there's the other side of it where there's a lot of resistance and people saying, you know, in this day and age, when just about anybody can have a Twitter account and say just about anything they want, it's kind of not surprising that he would take advantage of this.
But is this a good idea for him? He's still on probation. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
I'm not intimately familiar with his case, but yeah, he's on probation, and as long as he doesn't talk about certain things, as long as he sort of doesn't step into, you know, negative territory, he can talk about whatever he wants. I think it's interesting that, you know, he says he's going to talk about sports and all that, but that he has a little getting even to do, and I think that's the quote that, you know, when an accused murderer says, I've got a little getting even to do, like, that's a little concerning, and I don't know what he means by that. I'm sure he's trying to be provocative. He's always been a man. He's very intelligent. He's very articulate. He clearly, you know, has managed his reputation for many, many years until it went off the rails, quite frankly. So I think he's trying to grab what he can, and there are enough. I mean, 661,000 people followed him in the last 24 hours or whatever it is. That's, now, whether those are all real accounts, I don't know, but I don't know that. I don't think everybody's tuning in because they're interested in, you know, his opinion on politics. I think he's salacious, he's provocative. You know, they're hoping to see him, you know, make trouble, or it's drama. I mean, people need more drama, and the more we have a lot of examples right now of people, you know, inciting lots of negative, you know, opinions and putting things out there, and I think he's just getting in on the game. I don't know if you saw, but there was a tweet from Bill Cosby's account this morning or yesterday for Father's Day. Apparently he didn't do it himself from prison, but somebody posted it on his behalf, calling himself America's dad and, making a statement on race and all these kinds of things. And it's just, I think they've also, as celebrities, have so much invested in people knowing them and sort of worshiping them that they don't know what to do when it comes back. And maybe OJ is just far enough removed from it that he thinks he can get it back.
Krista Karn, who is our social media marketing consultant, who we have join us on the show. My last question really quick, Krista, is the fact that you just said there's over 600,000 followers already following him. Do you think that that kind of, I think, glorifies somebody who's, again, a famous fugitive? Do you feel like that's just sort of glorifying him and almost saying, well, it's okay, we can let go of what happened and let's follow and let's humor what he has to say? I mean, of course, we don't have control over those 600,000 people, but I feel like the more and more people who tune in and think, yeah, let's follow him, it's just glorifying somebody who very well was seen as a fugitive.
I do think that's a lot of it. It's a lot of, like, weirdly placed adoration for this former, you know, football hero slash infamous, you know, accused murderer, right? And so there's just, you know, I think some people are doing it because they want to see what he's going to say next. I think some people never believe that he was guilty of anything, and this is their way of showing support for him. You know, you go back, they've been showing all kinds of clips from when the trial was on, and you know, and people were, you know, we believe you no matter what, OJ. I mean, those people are going to believe whatever they believe. I do think that we have to be conscious of the fact that some of those 600,000 people are probably bots. You don't get that many followers overnight organically. So are they real? Are they just inflated numbers? He can buy those. If people can buy them for him, it just gets him out there. So just be careful when we consider how many people. But yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of media followed him because they don't want to miss, you know, what he's going to say next, whether they want to be covering him or not. But he's just inserting himself into the news cycle, and it kind of worked, at least for the day. Whether he becomes a presence, you know, that people continue to listen to, I don't know. It might just be a little one and done sort of thing, but we'll see. But I'm,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Krista Karns, we have run out of time, but we appreciate it. We know people can reach you on Twitter at Krista Karns, that's Karnes on Twitter. If you have any questions for Krista, she is available to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And because it's Monday, it's that time of the week that we do Crime on the Mind. And we have Lieutenant Jim Perez, our crime prevention expert out of Fairfield Police Department, joining us live on the air right now. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Doing good. How are you doing? Happy Father's
good.
Day.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So,
yeah, happy belated Mother's Day, but also, you know.
Oh, hey, thanks, bud. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, parents. Parents are great. So, question for you, because last week, this was one of our top stories near the end of the week. There was a young student at Fairfield Woods Middle School who was approached by what seemed like a man in a estranged vehicle. Thankfully, the student's okay. I have to imagine, though, as we get into the summertime, these incidences are going to happen more and more and more. Stranger danger. Talk to us about it.
Yes. Well, you know, there are those out there that unfortunately do want to prey on young victims. And I think one of the best things that we can do is give these youngsters, especially the youth during the summer, our valid tips in preventing themselves from becoming a victim. And, you know, and you do that in several different ways. But one of the biggest ways is to have a buddy system. So always have someone with you if you can while you're walking. Several years ago, we had an incident, which is unfortunate, but two high school girls were literally walking home from school, and at some point, those two students were separated because, you know, they live in different areas. And then the one student walking by themselves eventually got approached by a person in a van who came out and dragged her into someone's property and attempted to attack the student. Now, thank God, the student didn't stay quiet and kept screaming, and they kept telling her, suspect kept telling her, keep quiet, keep quiet, and she kept screaming and screaming, and it was that act that actually helped save her, because ultimately, the suspect ran away. So, my point to this whole thing is that drawing attention during an emergency can actually be an advantage and help you. So, whether it's carrying a personal alarm, which has to be like 120 decibels or higher, that can actually attract people to running towards the street as opposed to running into someone's yard can actually save your life. So there's a lot of different tips that you can use for students and for youth this summer. But the most important one is have a buddy system. Also, walk confidently. So, you know, statistics have shown the wolf pack mentality is alive and well. So those that appear weak are the ones that generally get attacked when there's opportunists out there. So if you walk confidently, and that means like shoulders up, looking around all the time, making contact with people, not staring, but making eye contact with them. I mean, all these things make a huge difference in being able to prevent yourself from becoming a victim. Also, if you're, I don't care if you're walking the dog, if you're going for a jog, if you're just going from point A to point B, have an itinerary. Let people know where you're going and when you're going and when you expect to be there. And more importantly, if you're listening to iPods or you have headphones on, take one headphone off so that you can hear natural ambient sounds behind you. You want to hear someone actually walking up to you or actually approaching, whether it's a vehicle or a person.
You know, my wife has a cousin that had almost had a problem like that one time. They were working. Her and her husband were working. They had a little dog, and she took the dog for a walk, and a van was following them. And somebody got out of the car and tried to pull her into the van. And the only thing that saved her was that the dog went absolutely nuts. Just went crazy. He was barking, biting, and they just figured this isn't worth it, and they left her alone and they took off. But Lord knows what would have happened if she didn't have that dog with her.
Yeah, and oftentimes what happens is when you draw attention, the one thing that a lot of criminals don't like is attention. Mm-hmm. They like working cloak and dagger and behind the scenes. So the more attention that you give, the more apt they are to actually stop the crime. So, and these are crimes of opportunity, of course, but nonetheless, it can be very dangerous. So it's very important that people have some type of an alarm system, you know, or an alarm protocol on them, whether it's screaming with your voice, whether it's having a whistle, whether it's having a personal device. I mean, nowadays you can go online and you can find a personal an alarm system, you know, a personal safety one that gives out a great amount of noise. Generate enough noise at least to pay, you know, to attract the attention of somebody. And today, with everyone carrying cell phones, it's going to be very easy for you to find help, you know, once you attract that attention. It's common sense too. It's making sure that people understand that you can become a victim. I mean, I'm not, you know, we live in basically in a great area around here. You know, the southwestern Connecticut area is generally safe, but I will tell you this. You could never be complacent. You should always be on guard. And more importantly, you have to have a plan. And if you don't play that plan out in your head, then when an emergency does arise, you're going to pretty much freeze. So it's important that you plan out ahead. You mental condition yourself to the fact that it could happen to you. And I guarantee that if you do those things, you will react at least instantly to prevent yourself from becoming a victim.
Continuing our conversation here this morning with Lieutenant Jim Perez, and he's our crime prevention expert. We're talking a little bit about stranger danger. We're talking about child abduction, but it's not just children that are abducted. It could be anybody at any time. And I was just asking you, Jim, how can people protect themselves, especially children, especially women? Nine times out of ten when you're out there, you're not really thinking about being abducted or a stranger coming up to you and physically harming you. You know, you're going about your business.
Right. And the first and the most important defense that you can have, really preventing or reducing the possibility of this happening, is to be aware of your surroundings. I know it sounds simple, but you would be surprised with the complexities of life and how busy everyone is. You would be surprised how much people do not pay attention to their surroundings. And that can mean when you're running or jogging, you know, especially women and children, what you should be doing is, you know, try to do it during daylight if possible. Try to run or jog or walk in an area that's pretty much populated. So you want to avoid those little quiet places. And also mix up your routine. Don't always run in the same street at the same time every single day, because if someone's looking at you, and they're studying you, that's what they're going to, you're just making it easy for them. So mix up your routine, carry some type of personal safety device, whether it's pepper spray or the personal alarm that I talked about. But more importantly, you know, if you can really do it in a group or with one other person, that helps tremendously. Studies have shown that, you know, when someone's ready to attack someone, just the introduction of one extra person really reduces it and sometimes eliminates it entirely because it's just not worth the trouble for them. But be aware of each other. And like I said, have an itinerary. Let someone know I'm leaving at this time. I'm going down this route. You know, it's almost like planning a vacation. It sounds like a lot of work, but it really becomes second nature if you do it all the time. And people are expecting, you know, that your itinerary for that day. But other than that, I mean, the best thing you can do is if you want to take a self-defense class, you can. But I think that just the awareness of being aware around you, you'd be surprised how intimidated sometimes burglars and criminals get when they see that you see them. For some reason, they get unsettled and they just kind of, it's just not worth it to them. So I would say keep an eye out. Always be aware of your surroundings. If you see anything that's what I call not normal. By the way, not normal and incorporating that into your life, not normal will save your life. Not normal and reporting something suspicious. Not normal when it's not your normal routine in your neighborhood. Call the police. I know that people say oftentimes they don't want to bother the police. I say, you know what? That's what you're paying taxes for. Call the police. Put them to work. Let them check it out. I would rather have a trained police officer go out and investigate a call than to have them do it themselves or try to find out what the suspicious person is. And more importantly, if you see a suspicious vehicle as you're walking or running, it's okay to cross the street and go on the opposite side. I mean, people sometimes don't want to offend, but the reality is that there is no political correction in my eyes when it comes to security and safety. You have to do what you have to do to keep safe.
And Jim, you talked about earlier on the segment that you should walk confidently, which I think is such an easy thing that gets overlooked every time you walk outside. A lot of people will be distracted or they don't think about maybe standing up tall or just seeming like I have a destination, I'm going somewhere. But something that has been mixed communicated, I would say, in the past is once cell phones kind of became a norm, like in the mainstream and very normal to have, a lot of times people have said, you know what, you should be on the phone with somebody when you're walking somewhere. So I find myself calling either my husband or calling my mom or calling someone just so that they know where I am. But do you feel like that's actually a target? Is that a target on my back that if I have a phone up and I seem distracted because I'm actually on the phone and I think, oh, I'm in an area I don't feel comfortable with, so I'm going to get on the phone with somebody. But does that actually put a target on my back because I now look distracted?
Well, it works in two ways. So the first one is that sometimes using the phone just for a few seconds and letting people know where you are is actually a good thing. The other thing is keeping an open line. If you really suspect that someone is going to cause you trouble as you're approaching them, it's okay to keep the phone on. Just keep it on. Say, listen, I'm going to keep it open. Imagine having an open mic so that the police can actually know exactly where you are and what you are, and they can hear ambient sounds or listen to what's actually going on as they approach. So I would say that. The one thing against it, I would say, is don't use the phone for a long period of time while you're running because that does tie you up. And they do see you as sort of like, vulnerable because your hands are tied. I mean, you're holding the phone. You're kind of distracted. They're going to take that distraction and try to use it against you. So, again, if you want to call for help or you feel uneasy, it's okay to make a quick phone call. That phone call will be pinged or it'll be recorded so that the person will know where your last location is. I would not stay on it too long because then you're kind of creating the reverse effect. But if you feel like you're uncomfortable, just call someone and say, listen, I'm just going to put the phone down. I'm just going to keep the line open, you know, so that they can actually hear. And then that way they can summon help if, in fact, you do get in trouble and you can't get back on the phone and say anything. So those are the things cell phones present a challenge and they can be a blessing and it can be an actual curse. And, you know, if you follow crime trends, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, which is through the Department of Justice, they actually track all crime. And crime has actually risen a little bit with respect to, like, attacks. So it's important that in this summer and every day, really, that you be aware of your surroundings at all times and just really try to minimize the risk of being a target by following just some very simple tips and rules, such as walking confidently, being aware of your surroundings, looking around, carrying some type of personal defense device. And it could be just an alarm, you know, just enough to trigger attention. But that's really where it comes from. They want isolation, and they want you alone, and they want you distracted. Those are the combinations that can lead to injury or death.
Well, Jimmy, you know, everybody should, especially women, children, always walk with a buddy, always be with someone. You know, we do this every single night. You know, we watch the news every night. There's at least one story where somebody has disappeared or somebody got attacked, somebody got beaten up, and they show the area where a young girl was running, you know, let's just say. And I say it to my wife every night. What was she doing over here all by herself? Now, I know you got to live your life, but you know, you got to take the proper precautions. And I always say to my wife, would you have gone down there by yourself? No, absolutely not. Positively not, you know?
Yeah, we can be very, very complacent. And unfortunately, you know, we want to live in a society that's open, a society that, you know, people trust each other. And that's really the ideal. That's really the goal. But unfortunately, there are those who take advantage of that. You know, take, for instance, in all the towns, there's a huge increase in vehicles not even being broken into, but they're literally walking into them. They're walking into vehicles because people are leaving them unlocked. And you know what they do? They go. They start at 1 in the morning. It's like a job for them. They start from 1 in the morning to 5 in the morning. They walk in small gangs. They go through neighborhoods. You know why? They're attracted. You know why? Because we, as complacent citizens, allow it to happen. How do we allow it to happen? We keep our doors unlocked because we think that our property is safe. And they're literally going through all your cars, taking intellectual property, stealing electronics, stealing jewelry and cash, and ID theft with personal information, all these things because we do not want to lock our doors. Lock your doors in your home. There's a reason why the state defines your driveway not as a private road, but as a semi-private road. Why? Because we allow mail carriers and people to turn around in it. So stop treating it like a private road, because it's not.
And just being proactive, it seems like, just being proactive with your home, your belongings, and certainly with your children, obviously, and making sure you take the time to have those conversations with your kids this summer. Lieutenant Jim Perez, we so appreciate your insight on this topic, a very scary topic, stranger danger, but we appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay, take care.
Yep. I trust everybody had a very, very nice Father's Day. I, for one, had an award-winning Father's Day. It was beautiful. Yes, it was award-winning because it was exactly what dads want. They want to get up in the morning. They want to have their coffee. They want to read the paper. They want to settle into an easy chair, watch television, and they don't want to hear a sound until somebody says, dinner's ready. That's it. That's what Father's Day is all about. And I got a couple of nice shirts on top of it as well.
Wow.
So I really can't complain. It was very, very nice yesterday. Nice and relaxing. It really was.
I'm glad you deserve that, Tom.
Yes. Well, I think I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was able to very briefly meet your family on Saturday at the Strawberry Fest. You have a beautiful family. But you could see that, you know, you're definitely the leader, the man of the house.
Yeah.
And it's, I was hoping, you know, you got to just kind of chill. What was for dinner last night?
You know, my wife made this like filet of sole yesterday.
Yeah, fancy.
It was really good. It really was. You see, the two boys are constantly on diets. They're constantly watching their weight.
They are in good shape. My gosh, they were both, were both in very good shape. Holy moly.
Yeah, they are in very, very good shape. So they're always like watching what they're eating. You know, me, I would have had to, you know, lasagna with Italian bread. And
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what I would have had because, you know, I'm not really watching my weight these days. But, you know, for my sons, she made this filet of sole thing. So that was cool. And she made a dessert that was like it had like sponge cake on the bottom, but then it had pudding on top with whipped cream. I had a little bit of that. I shouldn't have had that, but I had it anyway. I ate it.
You have to celebrate Father's Day. Derek had pizza 3 days in a row, so he was thrilled. I mean, my husband loves his pizza. So on Friday night, we went to Colony, of course, because that's something we love to do at least once a month. We love to take Chase there. He loves the atmosphere of it. So we had Colony on Friday. Of course, we went home with leftovers, so Derek had leftover pizza on Saturday for lunch. And then Sunday, without even really thinking it, Chase had planned going to Mystic Aquarium. So he brought Derek to the aquarium, and right in that little town is a wood fire pizza place. And I thought when we were eating, I thought to myself, Derek, are you like sick of pizza for a week, you know, for a year? And he's like, no, I can have some more next week. I'm cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not going to. My gosh, we're done with pizza for, as he says, a solid week. But yeah, he was thrilled with his pizza, his nonstop pizza weekend is
what
he looked at it.
Which Colony pizza do you go to?
I go to the one in Milford because that's the closest one to our house.
Okay,
it's in,
all right.
It doesn't, the parking lot fills up fast, but the seating doesn't, luckily. So we always get pretty lucky on Friday nights getting there. As long as we get there by like 6, 6:30, we do pretty well because Chase doesn't, he's too young. He doesn't like waiting. Mm-hmm. So that one seems to work out pretty well for us.
I've got 58 years on Chase and I don't like waiting either. I don't like it. We always hit the Colony in Stamford, which is actually the original Colony restaurant.
Mm-hmm, that one's very good.
Yeah,
it's very, very good.
Excellent. Really, really is. And we always go there when we get a chance. But excellent pizza. You can't beat it, no matter which Colony you go to. That's for sure.